Welcome to this episode of the Metro Youth Network podcast. This is Nate, and today is kind of a first for us because we've never done a proper podcast before where we sit down and talk to somebody. We usually just record our sermons from past events and then post them for you guys to listen to later on, but today we're super stoked to talk to Sharon Irving, who is our worship guest for Youth Councils 2019. So Sharon, thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of this and being willing to talk to us today.
Thank you. I'm so excited and just, I'm excited. Let's dive in.
Yeah. So we brought you today because we wanted to have our kids and our students and our youth leaders kind of get to know you if they didn't. Some of, especially like our youth leaders who are women might have met you at our Arise and Shine conference. Was that last year? So some of them might have met you, but there's definitely a group, a big group of our youth who haven't met you yet. So we're going to just kind of, spend some time getting to know you, hearing your heart, who you are, where you're from. And hopefully, you know, when Youth Council starts here, April 5 to 7, guys, if you haven't already marked it down, do it, April 5 to 7. And you can register with your core officer and your youth leader. But so hopefully when, you know, youth councils come, they'll feel like they know you just a little bit. So Sharon, why don't we start by you just kind of telling us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, where you were born, where you grew up, that sort of thing.
Yes. Well, again, I'm just so grateful. Thank you all for and trusting me to be a part of this. I'm really, really, I've just been praying and really expectant. You know, I don't take this lightly, so I'm really, really eager and open and just ready to see what God is going to do. So I am born and raised in Chicago, south side of Chicago. I've been here my whole life and just came up in a pretty musical family. My dad is a jazz musician and plays piano. And so, you know, growing up, I just remember being around a lot of music, a lot of jazz, just like rich culture. And I grew up singing in church. My grandfather was a preacher. So just, you know, music has kind of always been my love language. And just, you know, my mom's kind of a hoarder. No, Matt, let me not say that. She stays the poor card like every other mom, okay?
So sure.
She does that whole thing.
No, my mom is a legit hoarder, so that's okay.
Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. No, she's not. She saves a lot of, you know, stuff from the past, like a lot of moms. And I was reading through some old report cards she had, and the teachers would say, like, Sharon's a really great kid. She's very sweet and kind, but she's always, you know, in her own world, making up songs, and, you know, and I mean, this is like kindergarten, you know?
Wow.
So, I mean, even before I knew that, you know, music was a part of my family, I was always finding my escape in it and finding my voice in it. And when my parents got divorced, you know, I just remember coping through music and just through, you know, song and creativity. And so I just, you know, I want to emphasize that for me it's you know, I mean, it's more than a hobby. It's more than, you know, and worship, my heart for worship grew over time as I began to discover this higher being and Jesus and just connecting. And even before I really knew who he was, I always felt like this higher presence with me and through some dark times. And so growing up in Chicago, there's highs and lows. It's a Chicago has a bad reputation for being one of the most violent cities. And so I think for a lot of youth, like myself, we had to follow our, you know, it kept us safe. Music and just art was like a way that I could stay grounded. And so it's just always been that way for me. And, you know, I have a lot of stories I could tell, but just sort of that's the short version. Born and raised in Chicago. I have a brother. I'm technically the oldest, but then I have a sister who we didn't grow up together, but we're so close now. And she's in North Carolina. So I grew up kind of being the oldest and was the one sort of in charge.
Even though my parents
divorced, I'm so grateful that they kept a friendship, you know? And so, we would spend time with both of them growing up. And I know a lot of kids go through that and it's hard, and shout out to anyone that is going through that, you know, you're going to be okay. You know, I can testify to that, you know? And so, but God really kept me through those years, just through music in the church too. I would hear songs sung in the church and just, it would lift my spirits in a way I couldn't even put words to at the time. I just knew that music is powerful. Music can shift a whole room and shift an atmosphere. So I like to say, more than just a singer, that music could literally like change a whole person's lives and change a whole atmosphere.
It's about feeling what God's doing in the room, right? And what he's doing with the people, not necessarily like getting through, especially as a worship leader. I know I lead worship a little bit. I'm mostly a drummer, but I've grown up kind of similar to you growing up as a musician. My mom was a music teacher before my parents became pastors. So when I was like 6 years old, I remember taking some music lessons with my mom. And, you know, anyways, short story is that I finally eventually found my way to playing drums when I was in high school, and I played other stuff growing up before that. But anyhow, having been in those situations as a worship band or as a worship leader, sometimes your heart and your mind are distracted by, so many things, right? I mean, it could be life, could be your car, it could be whatever it is, right? But so it could be, I hope these musicians play the right chords or, you know, whatever. And you get so caught up in logistics, you get so caught up in kind of the show sometimes as well, that you can, what is the Spirit doing right here, right now?
How do you
pour into that? You know, how do you dial in? And I don't know, speak to that maybe a little bit. If as a worship leader, for our worship leaders out there, what for you has been like, how have you been able to get rid of the distractions? Whether they're, you know, actual distractions, like I said, life stuff or whatever, or it's, the distraction of trying to do things perfectly as a group, as a band. How have you been able to put those things behind you just so you can sense what the Spirit is doing in a service or whatever, in a room, like you said?
Wow, that was such a great question, and I could talk about it all day. Cut me off if I'm saying too much. But yeah, I mean, you get it. I mean, you said it so well. It's you know, I will be the first to admit that it's challenging at times to be present in the moment. When you're going through, I'm coming out of a really, really hard and painful season of life, and we all go through those seasons. I've been walking through one, and in the midst of it, I have been entrusted to lead worship, to get on that stage and be present and be available. And I can honestly say that I think sometimes we think when we're going through hard times, like, ooh, I'm not worthy, you know, I can't get up, I've got to have it all together. But I've really just learned to be transparent in those moments. And you know, one of my favorite scriptures and, like, phrases, God's strength is made perfect in weakness, because it's so true. I mean, in those moments where I am, you know, leading a song and singing about the goodness of God, and I'm struggling, you know, to really feel it's a sacrifice. And the Bible talks about that sacrifice of praise and pushing through. You know, I'm still, like, I'm in that. So that question really hits home for me. It really resonates because, and in those moments, I guess for me, and I haven't thought much about this, so I'm kind of, you're getting the raw answer.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been asked this question, but it's something I think about.
Sure.
I just, again, just leaning into transparency, I think. We, especially, you know, I've worked at churches that are really big and have it all together production-wise. And, you know, God is like, he came down and entered the world, you know, through a virgin and a bond. So he's, you know, he's humble. And so a lot of times our efforts to be perfect, like, he, like, laughs at, because he uses a lot of things that are just normal every day.
Sure.
And so if you cry and you feel like, man, I can't hold it together through this song, that's okay. That's human. And I think just allowing ourselves to be human in those moments is a blessing to the person, because there are people in the room that are going through really dark stuff. I've had people come up to me after worship and say, man, Sharon, I was on the verge of taking my life. And because, you know, you sung those words, and I know it wasn't easy for you, but you modeled what it looked like to trust God, even in the rubble and in the and the pain. And so if we don't talk about our struggles from the stage, it's harder for people, you know, people just think, oh, they've got it all together, you know? And so I try as much as possible with wisdom to share, like, hey, you know, I'm having a hard day-to-day, guys, you know, but we're going to worship God anyway.
Yeah.
So just being real is so important. It's freeing.
Yeah.
And it frees us up. And also the last thing I'll say is just God is worthy. He's good all the time. And so remember that there's that oldie but goodie, blessed be your name. Like, when I'm found in a desert place, even when I'm in the wilderness, that's super hard, because I'm like, oh, but even when I'm having a bad day, I'm like, God, I'm going to give you the praise because you're worthy of it. Even if you never do another thing, the fact that you died for me and have promised me this, you know, this life of eternal life, like, that's enough to give you, you know, I can find a reason to praise you today.
Right, right.
So it's hard. It's easier said than done, but.
Totally.
Yeah.
Matt Redman, that was Matt Redman, right? He wrote those words, like,
I think, I don't 20 know,
years ago,
know,
30 years ago. Oh, man.
Right. I'm like, who wrote that song?
Yeah. No, but that's so true. And you talked a little bit about, like, that, sometimes that culture of perfection that is in the church, you know, and that could look like a lot of things. And it's not necessarily saying that it's wrong, right? Like, you talked about how God wants us to give him our best. And that's totally fine and good. But yeah, sometimes that can get in the way of authenticity, and that can get in the way of, being honest with where your heart's at and what God's doing and whatever. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I find that, like, when things are going wrong, that's when God works the most, you know, or the most powerfully you can sense it or whatever. I mean, just like, so we had a worship event, and I'm about to throw one of our pianists under the bus, but we had a worship event last week, and he's an awesome guy. His name is Chris. Shout out, Chris. But he played the entire first song, a whole step out. Where we were, and he didn't know there was a transpose button that somebody had pressed. He forgot that he had pressed, so he was playing something in F when we were playing something in E. Like, this whole song, I'm just like, what is going on? Like, it's not right. I don't know what it is. And but I mean, the rest of that set, God was powerful, moving, and working. But, you know, it's like, that's such a silly thing to happen. But, like, sometimes, you know, our culture of perfection is just like, oh, man, that's the death of us. We might as well just go sit down right now. You know, let's go home.
Yeah.
Can't do this anymore. But,
anyways, like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm a perfectionist and I can be really hard on myself. And so I've had moments where I was like, for weeks, just think about that one mistake.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. I don't know if you're into the Enneagram at all, or if you're.
Yes.
I'm a fellow one. I'm a perfectionist with a 9 wing. So I feel that.
What's your wing?
I'm a 9 wing, peacemaker wing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good combo. I'm a 4, you know.
Sure.
Is the individualist.
Yep.
And I'm still kind of trying to figure out what I mean, but I go to 1 when I'm in health, which is interesting. So
interesting.
So
2 of my best friends are 4s. Sam and Caleb are 4s. Anyways,
same.
Both musicians also. Interesting. So anyway, shout out to the Enneagram. Didn't know we were going to go there today. So you said you're from the South Side. What neighborhood are you from?
I grew up in South Shore. Yeah.
South Shore. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to be here with them.
What's that?
Are you familiar with that area?
South Shore, not so much. I've been there a few times. I have a, you know, I used to play with someone who was from South Shore, a little bit further south of that. But I used to live in Blue Island, actually. Super far from there. I used to live in Blue Island, worked for Salvation Army Church, that's, now in Blue Island. It used to be in the Mount Greenwood community of Chicago. It has moved to Blue Island, and that happened about 10 years ago or so. But, I was actually just yesterday in the South Side. I was in, where St. Sabina's Church is, Father Slater.
Yes.
I met him yesterday for the first time, and he's unbelievable, just incredible.
Wow.
And everything that happened in Englewood, Auburn, and Gresham. But
he's a legend.
Yes. Yes, he is. He is a legend. It's crazy. We've kind of covered a lot of ground already. And I think one of the things I want to ask you about then just for so our theme is youth councils, for youth councils is peace, right? And we're kind of coming at it from the angle of peace being what God wants to do in us and speak into us in times of anxiety and times of unrest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many stories and studies out there that talk about the level of anxiety that students face. Everyone faces, adults as well, but especially students. And so we're kind of going into the weekend talking about what does peace look like in that situation? What is God trying to do there? So my question for you is, can you share, and maybe this is where you're at right now a little bit, can you share a time where you felt super overwhelmed, anxious, whatever, you know, fill in the blank, and found peace?
Man, oh man, this is crazy. I can't make this up because I'm literally like today, I was speaking Philippians 4:7 over me. That's the scripture, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ, hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And because I was feeling overwhelmed and anxious, and that scripture has really been a go-to for me. And I wrote a song out of that scripture called Peace that I'll share in April. And so look out for that. That's something that I'll share with you all. But it's, you know, I love that promise because the circumstances, you know, around us and like how I've been in, it doesn't scream peace. It's like the opposite of it. And to read that, like, God will give you peace that makes no sense in the midst of a storm. It's like being in the eye of the storm when the storm is raging all around you and there's that eye of it where you're just kind of centered. And, I mean, I can testify to that. I can honestly say that God is that God will keep you in peace. And he's kept me in peace. And I've struggled with anxiety, you know, my whole life. And I don't say that word just to throw it out there because there are real clinical, you know, people that have anxiety, and it's something that a lot of people struggle with. And it's something that I've struggled with. I've, you know, even had to take medication at times. And I mean, I'm being really open about this right now. I've never been that open about it.
Sure.
But, you know, panic attacks and all of it.
Yeah.
And I found that the thing that has really been freeing, again, is just naming it, not doing it in isolation. A lot of those times when I would have the panic attacks and when I've had them, I was in my head. I was alone. I wasn't connecting with my community or my tribe. And I'm an introvert, as a lot of artists are. It's easy to, you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to isolate, but once I got on the phone or called that friend or got out of my, you know, isolation, I felt better. You know, I didn't mean the problems disappeared, but I think there's so much power in communicating with your brothers and sisters. We're not meant to do this walk alone. And so people tell me, like, you have the, you know, you're you seem so peaceful. I can't even imagine you ever have an anxiety. And it really is the power of God. Because I'm telling you, trips to the ER, you know, I've because I thought I was having some sort of heart attack. Those that have struggled with it know what I'm saying, like anxiety on that level. And so I just want to encourage, I'm such a heart for people that are struggling with anxiety and feeling isolated or feeling ashamed, like they can't, you know, share. And I think sometimes in the church, I'm not going to say all the church because I love the church. The church has been a safe haven for me, and they've embraced me, you know. But some churches allow people to be that honest, and they're like, just relax. But for some people, it's harder. And so,
anyway. we definitely have a ways to go, I think, in some ways to help people deal with. In the church, you know, it's not just a matter of, hey, get over it, or, why don't you take a nap or something, you know, it's more than that, you know. And I love what you're talking, too, about church. I was just thinking about this the other day, how important it is for us to be at church. I mean, church is... I mean, obviously we need that. We're brought up thinking that, you know, going to church is about you and God, you know, it's about you connecting with Jesus. And of course there's truth to that. But, you know, I tell a lot of people who like maybe struggle with like even believing that God is real, but they want to still exist in community. Like just show up, just come to church, you know, like, I don't necessarily care which church you go to. Just come to church and be part of people, because we need each other, you know, like we can't do this without each other. And that's so important.
Amen.
And
when it's so cool when like you encounter Jesus through another human being, it's such a, you remember those moments where you were having a day and God sent someone and literally just spoke. He's awesome. Jesus is all we need. I want to be clear on that.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus is the go-to. He is the first person I'm going to talk to every day. But, you know, we experience him through others, I guess is what I'm saying. So,
No, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a reason why Hebrews 13 talks about, I think it's 13. Don't give up continue in the habit of meeting with one another, you know, don't give up doing that. As others have been in the habit of doing, just keep on being together. Like you need that community, right? I mean, I'm just thinking about like, even when Jesus died and he was crucified and then he ascended, the thing that you find the apostles doing is being together. You know, like that was the first thing they kept on meeting together, praying together, just being together, you know? And I'm sure in a time when things just like didn't really make sense, that was what they're doing.
right. You know? That's good.
Well, thanks, Sharon. I don't know if there's anything else that you'd want to say to our students and youth leaders before we hop off, but, I appreciate you coming.
Fun.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm just excited, and you know, we're all on this journey together, and I want to just encourage them to come as they are. You know, hopefully you hear me, that I'm not perfect, that I'm on the journey too. But God's power and strength is made perfect in our weakness. And peace is definitely at our fingertips. It's, you know, peace is here. And so I'm excited to share the song. And
That's so cool.
Be yourself too. I know a lot of youth are listening, and I know that sounds cliche, but everyone else is taken, you know, find your spark, find what makes you you. Do it afraid. That's been also one of my mantras. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but the reality is to really feel fear, and even just coming to this might be a risk for some people, but do it anyway. Push past your fears.
Right, yeah.
Push past the doubts and come and just trust that we're gonna have an amazing time together, and it's a safe place. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody. That was Sharon Irving. She'll be our worship leader at Youth Councils this year, April 5 to 7. Head to our website, metroyc.com, to learn more about her and the rest of the weekend. And thanks, Sharon, so much. We appreciate you again. And we'll see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you. Peace.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.